Psalm 46, 1 through 11. I want you to have your own Bibles open to Colossians chapter 3. I'm not going to turn and put all of them on the board this morning. This Colossians 3 will be one of our longer readings. We will see a number of passages as we go through. But I want you to think about life in general, how things are going for you personally in your life. I can remember years ago, back in the 1950s, 1960s, when television was first coming into our homes and the commercials that they would have of all of the newfangled appliances. And I can remember talking about the Amana range and so many things. And people imagined their future. And I now realize that what we were imagining as our future in those days, that's our present day. It's where we're at today. They were talking about all of those newfangled appliances are going to save us so much time. And we're going to really enjoy life. Well, we've got all of those newfangled appliances that from back then. So how is it working out for you? Do you have all of that time to enjoy life? As a people, we tend to pride ourselves on being busy. The busier we are, we assume, the more productive we're going to be. But in the same way, we found ways to take information consumption to a whole new level as we turn on the television today or the smartphones or all of the things that we have. And in the same way, we found ways to take information consumption just almost out of this world. In the late 1980s, I worked as editor of our local weekly newspaper here, the Lincoln New Era. I haven't seen a printed copy of the Lincoln New Era in years. Why? Well, everyone's gone to the internet. No one buys a newspaper anymore. They go to the television for their information. Most people have gone from watching the 6 o'clock news. I'll turn it on to catch the weather. But for the news, we go to the news networks and we can get our news 24/7. So why worry about 30 minutes at 6 o'clock when they're going to give you half of it's going to be the national anyway. I can go to the internet and I have access to just about any kind of information that I want and misinformation, if you will. If I still just want to read, I can read a book or the newspaper or most magazines on a Kindle or an iPad or a smartphone or you just name it. If I want to learn how to repair anything in my home or if I have some kind of a machine that I need to work on, all I have to do is check YouTube and I can enter that in, and I'll have hundreds of videos showing me exactly what to do. And so to keep up with all of these things, we have now what we call artificial intelligence, AI. Hear a lot of that on the news today. But in this new information age, I can learn a new piece of information through these systems any moment of the day. We have actually surpassed information overload as a society. We are exposed to so much information. Much of it is negative in short amounts of time that we don't think we can fill our heads with anything more. And sadly, this keeps us from filling our minds with what will help us the most. Romans 8, verse 5. We read, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." Isn't that what we do? With all of this information we have coming at us from every thing that we have, from our telephones all the way back to whatever we happen to want to look at or listen to. And so we fill our minds with these things of the world, but those who live according to the Spirit fill their minds with things of the Spirit. When we allow the world's perspective to dominate our thinking, what happens? Well, we become defensive. We get angry. We get agitated. We get depressed. And this leads us into some unhealthy places mentally and spiritually. And our God knew this. And He provided mankind a simple and yet profound answer. And we find that periodically throughout the scriptures. Two little words. And they're on the screen before you right now. Maybe you've already picked them out. I want you to look closely at verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." See those two words? Be still. I can lay that down for a while because it's already ahead of me. Be still. When you're feeling overwhelmed, when everything seems to be going wrong, what do you need to do? Get all upset, get all agitated, wondering, what's this world coming to? Well, God said, be still. Just stop. Put things down and get your mind working on the things that God would have you to think about. And one of the universal human responses to the last couple of years is a near constant sense of being overwhelmed with everything that comes at us. That's natural. That's the way we are programmed, I suppose, but it can also cause us to lose our spiritual perspective. And I see this so often. But instead, we need to stop and we need to see it for what it is. Your own sin can overwhelm you as it did King David back in the Old Testament times when he realized the sins that he had committed with Bathsheba and her husband Uriah. And you remember how that Nathan came and told him the story of that one little ewe lamb that the rich man had taken from his neighbor. And we see how that David, when he realized that he had so sinned against God and against Bathsheba and against all of those around him, he just had to stop. He had to be still. He had to think about his place with God. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, it says, "So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." But David had repented when he learned his sins. He repented. He turned back to God. So, So Nathan told him, the Lord has put away your sin. He said, you're not going to die. It's going to work out. You've made some mistakes in your life. You've done some terrible things. But you've repented. You've turned to God. How about the Apostle Peter? Remember Peter, how strong he was, that he would die with the Lord. He was ready to take the sword and even cut off a man's ear. But then he denied the Lord three times. And in Luke 22, verses 61 and 62, we find the Lord turned and just looked at him. And when the Lord looked at him, Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that before the rooster would crow, he would deny him three times. You know what Peter did? He went out and wept bitterly. He stood still. He stopped. He remembered. He thought about what he had done. We're the same way. We do things, we say things, we think things that we know are against the will of the Lord. We allow the world to just kind of blow in on us and fill our minds with all kinds of things. We just get overwhelmed. Well, maybe it's not sin. Maybe it's greed. But we're overwhelmed. We need to be still. We need to stop. We need to think. We need to turn our minds to God. And again, I think of David. When the baby born to him by the wife of Uriah, and that's what she's called in the scriptures in 2 Samuel 12, verse 15, the wife of Uriah. Take time to read and think and watch David mourn for that baby as it dies. 2 Samuel 12, verse 16 through 23. Or maybe you can go to that upper room with Peter where all of the widows are gathered around a friend of theirs by the name of Dorcas who has died. Acts 9, verse 39. When the weight of responsibility overwhelms you, you've got to be still. You've got to turn to God. You've got to stand and think of the things that God would have you to do. We all have responsibilities, from the youngest to the eldest. We have things that come into our minds that we need to stop and think about. But when it comes to responsibility, stand in the garden and listen to Jesus' agonizing prayer before that mob came and took him away. He carried the responsibility of dying for my sins and for your sins. Matthew 26, verse 36 through 39. Our Lord knew what it was to agonize over the things that had come upon him. And I think of the agony that Paul felt as he writes to the Christians at Corinth and he tells them all that he'd endured for preaching Christ. And he ended in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28, saying, besides all these other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep care for all the churches, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28. Even the realization that you've got a lot of growing to do spiritually can overwhelm you. What do you do? Well, look at Colossians 3, beginning in verse 5. You You've got to be still. You've got to put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, listen to this, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on the tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also do them. Colossians 3, 5 through 13. To fulfill that passage, one has to be still. You have to know that God is in control. You go back to the Old Testament again, and I believe I used this passage in the last lesson that I brought a couple of weeks ago. After the Jews heard the law read after returning from the captivity, they were overwhelmed with regret, but the Levites quieted all the people, and here's what he said, be still. Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. Nehemiah 8, verse 11. Rather than focusing on the size of the problem, be still and be thankful that we have a God who's big enough to provide the answer. And we're told to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4, verse 4. So when you're overwhelmed, no matter what it is that's bothering you, be still and think about what God would have you to do at that time. But we're prone to get upset, aren't we? Oh, the kids did this. That upsets me. This person did this. This person did that. I'm upset. When you get upset, what do? Be still. Now, it's good to care about things around us. But it's important not to be overly anxious and allow that to control you. We can let things control us in so many ways. There is hardly a day that goes by that each of us, at least us adults, don't become stressed out over something. Stress throughout the day can be very upsetting. Matthew 6, 33-34. The behavior of other people is extremely worrisome to us. Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2, David wrote, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Boy, they're just more of them all the time. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say to me, there's no help for him in God. Would that upset you? Someone come and told you that the God that you serve can't help you? Speak of the news, sometimes just listen to the news can ruin your day. Can you imagine the feeling a person would have should they hear a knock at the door, the doorbell ring, and they go, and there's a state policeman there, and he brings you word that someone in your family has been killed in an accident. I preached several funerals where people have gone through that. In 1 Samuel 4, verse 19, we read that Phinehas' wife went into labor when she heard that her father-in-law and her husband were both dead. These are real people we read about in the Bible. They have the real problems that we have. They have the same thought patterns that we have. And when they receive these news, whatever comes to them, they have the same reaction that we have. I suppose in the Old Testament, King David had experienced more than his share of emotional pain. And yet God chose him to write these words, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." Psalm 4, verse 4. Rather than concentrating on all the wrongs in the world, be still and just trust that the Lord will make things right in His own time. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, Philippians 4, verse 6. When you feel that you've just reached the point of despair, you just reached the end of the rope, as to say, be still. Think of how Moses must have felt when the whole Israelite nation turned against him. He's taken them out of slavery. He's shown them miraculous happenings. He's brought them the law. He's done so much for them, and they turned against him. Numbers 14, beginning in verse 1, "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, and that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let's select us a new leader. Let's just get rid of Moses and Aaron. Let's select us a new leader and return to Egypt.' When Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel." That's found in Numbers 4, or 14, verse 1 through 5. Do you think of that? You think of our world today, the current state of politics and world affairs, it's enough to drive you to despair. There's a constant change and upheaval in this world in which we live. War and violence are a present reality. It's always a fear that just kind of looms over us like a dark cloud. We've had so much bad news over the past few years that few people, regardless of political persuasion, are convinced that we're on the right track. Everyone's concerned about the future of the country. People fear what the other side is going to do more than having a clear understanding of what to do themselves. And that's where Israel was at. And with a similar concern in mind, the psalmist would write, "Be still and know that I'm God." That's our God speaking to us today as it did to them in those days. "I will be exalted among the nations," our God said. "I will be exalted in the earth." So rather than focusing on the world and all of the problems in the world, look to God with hope, knowing that you belong to a kingdom that cannot be moved, whose capital is in heaven. It's not in Washington, D.C. Our capital is not someplace on this earth. Our capital is in heaven. We have a king reigning from heaven right now. Be still. Two simple little words that are so easy to say, but oh, so hard to do. And that's why gathering together to study God's Word, to worship every Lord's Day and every Wednesday and any other time that we can come together as a family of God is so meaningful for us. It's an opportunity to train ourselves better in focusing on God, remembering that He is indeed capable. He is indeed in control. Now there's another being out there. We call him Satan. And he's filled this world with everything possible to distract us from the glory of God. So we find ourselves easily pulled away by life's challenges. And in this, you and I are not unlike the original disciples back in the first century. They believed in Christ. And yet they so often allowed the storms of life to get to them, to pull them away. That's why when you and I are in the midst of all of the turmoil of life, we need to hear the same words they heard. Remember when they were out in the sea and the wind is boisterous and the waves are getting big, and Jesus comes walking on the water. And he said, "Be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid." We need to hear those words. "Do not be afraid." Matthew 14, verse 27. We need to hear in our lives our Lord Jesus say, "Peace, be still." In that moment of stealing the storm on Galilee, Jesus proved his deity. He proved his sovereignty. But more than anything else, he proved his love for his people. Can you hear him today? He's telling you and he's telling me, "Be still. I'm still the Lord. I'm still in control." We need to realize just how worthy He is if we would interrupt life with our faith instead of interrupting our faith with our life. Be still and know God. Take time to look into His Word Take time to think about it. Don't just read it. Think about it. Let him have control of your life. Be still and know that I am God, he's saying to you right now. If you never obeyed his commands to believe and to be baptized, we urge you to do it today. Be still and be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've drifted away from him, we urge you to repent and come home. Whatever your need is, know God is in control. He will be exalted. You can be exalted with him. If you're in need of his forgiveness today, whether it be to be baptized, to wash away your sins, or to return, repenting and praying, do it now while we stand and sing this song.